Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
9 o'clock, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. And you know what we do at 9 o'clock? We do a Clearwater check-in. And look, the first couple days, just pitchers and catcher, we're just getting excited, just the idea of baseball. But now everybody's there. Now the full squad is there. The first spring training game coming up on Sunday. This thing is starting to get close. I believe what? It's 5 weeks from tomorrow is opening day. I'm sure Bob Wankel is counting down the days. Bob Wankel, Crossing Broad, joins us next to talk some Phillies. Bob, how you doing tonight?
Joe, what's up? How are you tonight?
Doing well and getting excited here as they're there, right? They're there in Clearwater and baseball is back and spring training is here. Bob, I want to start tonight with Bryce Harper arriving to camp. Year three of Bryce Harper here. And I'm wondering what you've made of two things. Let's start with the off-the-field stuff. I read a couple stories. You know, one, Todd Zielecki had a piece and then Matt Gelb. And the gist of what I read this week was there was a point in this offseason where Bryce Harper was really confused and maybe upset with the direction of the organization, and now things are back to where he's happy. The whole thing struck me as the Phillies are pretty aware that they need to put a good team out there around Bryce. Otherwise, this relationship might not be great forever.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I guess struck me is that Bryce Harper was like everybody else, you know, back in October, November, saying, where is this team headed? You know, not feeling too good about the trajectory, where things were going, what they might do in free agency, their ability to re-sign JT Realmuto. And so, you know, sometimes I think as outsiders, you say, well, maybe there's a different story in the clubhouse. Maybe there's a different story internally. But it turns out that the most important player on the team felt the way that the fans felt back early in the fall before Dave Dombrowski showed up. You know, I tweeted yesterday in response to Todd's story. You could talk about Bryce Harper's impact on the field and what he brings to the lineup and the hustle and all that other stuff. But I think that Bryce Harper's presence in a way more or less forced the Phillies' hand this winter. You know, I wonder if this team would have gone the direction that it went this offseason if they didn't feel some type of obligation or some type of pressure to keep Bryce Harper happy, to keep, you know, key veterans like Zach Wheeler to a lesser extent and Aaron Nola happy as well, you know? So I think that Bryce Harper's presence goes just so far beyond the actual on-the-field play, and I think that that's in part what influenced the Phillies to get aggressive and kind of double down with this core as the offseason progressed.
Well, you're right on that, Bob. I agree with you, and it connects here, and it plays here, and he's been nothing but a good player, and people love him. And now the only other thing to worry about, Bob, as we move forward his career, third year of a 13-year contract, is the back stuff. Now, he got to spring training. I thought last week Joe Girardi had an ominous quote about, you know, kind of taking it easy a little bit, and then he acknowledged that, yeah, they're maybe going to take it a little bit easier in spring training. On a scale of 1 to 10, Bob, 10, I should panic. 1, this is absolutely nothing. Where do you stand with Bryce Harper's back? Because the one thing I think about when I read these stories is you watch him, and he does not have a natural swing. He doesn't have one of those old-school, natural Daryl Strawberry, Ken Griffey Jr. left-handed swings. He's got blunt force trauma with that swing, and I just – It's the one thing that was in the back of my head when they signed him, like 13 years. I just hope his body holds up with that swing. What do you make of the back stuff?
I guess in the short term, I would say my concern would be a 3. You know, he came in a day late. They wanted him to finish a program that he was on at home. And so he gets in a day late, and he just basically said in previous years, he's come in and he's hit the ground running and he's all out. And he said, you know, maybe this spring I won't be stealing bases and maybe quite going as hard. And I think that the Phillies might be a little bit more cautious with him. If you go back to last season, the first 20 games of the year, he was hitting .348, I believe. He had an OPS over 1,100. And then I believe the day that the Phillies acquired Brandon Workman, actually, they were down in Atlanta. It was a Friday night, and he was off. Joe Girardi gave a night off, which is kind of strange, to be honest with you. And from that point forward, he really struggled. He only hit .230 for the rest of the season. OPS was down, I believe, in the lower 800s. So the back definitely had an impact on him. You know, I mean, it was such a short season, you could say there was just a natural ebb and flow, but it was pretty clear that that day off in Atlanta was a line of demarcation for Bryce Harper's 2020 season. And when you look across the board at his numbers last year, he was good. You know, he had a pretty solid year. He finished the last week or so pretty strong, but he went through a really rough stretch there for about 2.5-3 weeks, and you could tell the back was a big reason why. So I think that the Phillies know that they have a long-term investment with Bryce Harper, and maybe, you know, I heard it suggested perhaps that they'll take an approach where he plays 145 games this year, 150 games, and if that's going to maximize what you get out of Bryce Harper, then maybe that's what you have to do. But I don't think that we're looking at a situation where he's, you know, not on track to play opening day or where he's going to miss significant time or anything of that nature.
Well, I would hope not. And you know what? If it's 150 and it's a good 150, people will take that. And people will also take, Bob, more reinforcements. I'm going to play this for everybody. This was John Heyman this morning on MLB Network throwing the Phillies in the mix for probably the most high-profile pitcher still out there. Here's what Heyman had to say.
Here's a new team, though, the Phillies. I've heard the Phillies are in contact with Odorizzi.
Wow.
Now, obviously, they've got Dave Dombrowski. He's done a great job already. And you get Dave Dombrowski, you're playing to win. So they are clearly playing to win. Obviously, they brought back Real Muto. They brought back Didi. And they've added some pretty good relievers, which is where they needed it. Obviously, they've got Kinsler. They've got Watson. The bullpen looks better. And my understanding is now they are in touch with Jake Odorizzi, and that is a possibility.
Bob, what do you make? Odorizzi's still out there, coming off a great year 2 years ago. Basically, last year, he didn't even pitch because he had an injury, and the season was so short. The idea of Jake Odorizzi to the Phillies, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely stabilized the middle of that rotation. You can slot him in as a number three, number four guy, kind of mix him in with Zach Eflin, who I'm pretty bullish on coming into the season. I think that the big takeaway here is that the Phillies are kind of keeping their foot on the gas here. The fact that they're still looking around, still looking to potentially add and somebody of his caliber especially, I think is something that if you're a Phillies fan, you have to feel pretty good about it. You know, we'll see how it materializes here. He kind of had a similar situation to James Paxton, who signed with the Mariners last week, 1 year, $8.5 million. James Paxton's 2 years older than Jake Odorizzi, but similar situation. Really good in 2019. Odorizzi made the All-Star team in 2019. He had a blister injury, and I believe he was hit with a comebacker in the chest last season. So he only pitched, I believe, in 4 games. Wasn't very effective while he was out there. And so it's kind of one of these situations. Can you get him on a 1 year deal? Maybe grab him at, you know, $7-8 million. And if you can, you know, maybe that's something that you look at. You know, you have the Chase Andersons of the world, Matt Moores, Vince Velasquez, Spencer Howard. These guys are all in the mix, but if you can slot in a guy like Odorizzi, and assuming that he's going to be more of the guy that he was in 2019 and not so much the guy that he was in 2020, then man, that would be a substantial upgrade for this rotation. The other thing with Odorizzi that I found intriguing was that he's always been a guy that sat 90 to 92. Velocity had an uptick in 2019. He lowered his fly ball rate. And just a guy that really seemed to kind of be figuring it out in 2019. So the fact that he was derailed 2020, you know, maybe the Phillies can buy low here and really do something to stabilize the middle of the rotation. We'll see.
Bob, the one thing I keep thinking about it as I watch all these teams continue to add just another starter here or there or try to, is it strikes me as these teams are really afraid, might be the word, or just they have no idea what going from 60 to 162 is going to do to their pitching staff. Like, I mean, I'm watching teams like the Giants sign a Scott Kazmir or Aaron Sanchez, and obviously the Dodgers have an embarrassment of riches, but it used to be like, oh, you need 6 starters, maybe 7, and now it feels like you need 8 or 9. Like, you were reeling off all those names there, and there's a chance here the Phillies could have a legitimate option either, I don't know, in the bullpen as a long man or just not part of it. Do you, like, when you look at pitching this year, do you think it's going to be anything close to normal, or you think these teams really are going to need 7 or 8 or 9 starters to get through this?
I think teams are going to need that added depth. I think that this is a real storyline. It's something that Joe Girardi talked about today. He said that there could even be a trickle-down effect into 2022, believe it or not. You know, you don't really want to look ahead to next season already at this point, but this is something that, you know, just – you talk about guys throwing 40, 50 innings and then asking them to triple that workload. And some of your more veteran guys that are in their late 20s that maybe aren't at the end of the line or, you know, aren't guys that are just coming up. If you look at a guy like Spencer Howard, who's, you know, threw only 24 and a third last year, some of these guys are probably going to be okay and are going to be able to handle that uptick in usage. But I think for some of the older arms and for some of the very young arms, this is going to be quite a challenge. And, you know, I think some of the smart teams are getting ahead of the curve here and building out rotations that are 7-8 legitimate major league caliber starting pitchers deep at this point, you know, and I guess I use that term loosely, but you could do a lot worse than having a guy like Vince Velasquez as your seventh starter, you know, when you build out a depth chart.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we had too many years here where it was two or three. So if we move him to seven, we'll all be okay with that. Last one for you, Bob. Scott Kingery arrived to camp noticeably smaller, trimmed down from where he was last year. And it feels like every year now it's a new story with Scott Kingery, you know, whether it's going back to second base or super utility or getting bigger or launching the ball. Or it feels like we're grasping at straws to figure out what is going to be the right combination to get this kid to be good. Where are you on the Scott Kingery thing? Because I am losing – like, this is a make-or-break year for me with him. If he can't become a real player this year, I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm willing to write off last year a little bit. You know, the storyline coming the last spring was that, hey, he's going to be the everyday second baseman now. Since he's not being yanked all over the field, he'll be able to kind of lock in and really, you know, concentrate. Obviously, he has the COVID issues. He had back issues once the season got underway. I do think that there was too much of an emphasis placed in Scott Kingery trying to lift the ball, hit home runs. I think there was some pressure with him to do that once he moved to the outfield, especially. I think he really wanted to change his game a little bit offensively. So now here he is back in this utility role, competing for a job in center field. He loses some muscle on purpose. Hopefully, I mean, I think the Phillies want to try to get him back to being a gap-to-gap guy. It's just, you know, you say you're losing faith in him. It's hard not to. This is a make-or-break year for him as far as I'm concerned. But you just go back and you look at what he did at parts of 2019, especially at the beginning. You look at the player that he was in the minor leagues and the skill set that he had. Last year in the minors, he had over 60 extra base hits. I mean, I just can't believe that this guy has struggled the way that he has, you know, and I guess there's a variety of factors that have played into it. So, you know, what I guess I see is that he'll probably platoon, you know, in center field. I think that that's where they're going to start the year. I think he'll probably play against lefties. And you know, I imagine that Adam Haseley or Roman Quinn will play against righties. And I think that that's where it's going to be. And, you know, if guys get hurt, he has to bounce in, you know, back into the infield, jump around a little bit. He'll do that. So we'll see. You know, without the expectations now, I think that people have soured on him a little bit. Maybe he has gotten his body to the right spot now, making a little bit of a transformation here. We'll see, but I mean, I wouldn't go in and be laying money on a breakout year for Scott Kingery at this point. I think it's one of these things that you can't believe it until you see it.
Yeah, I think the two words you used there in that last couple sentences sums it up. A couple years ago was I can't wait for Scott Kingery, and now it's like, well, we'll see. You know, we'll see what he is because it's been a while. All right, Bob, appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading at Crossing Broad, and we'll chat soon. Thank you.
All right, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
Bob Wankel there, Crossing Broad on the Phillies. The Odorizzi thing is really interesting. I'll give you some more thoughts on that coming back. 215-592-9494. Thoughts on the Phillies potentially signing another legitimate starting pitcher. And how about this? A high profile, especially here in Philadelphia, quarterback could get released from his team. And if he does, the Philadelphia Eagles should sign him as Jalen Hurts' competition. I'll tell you who I'm talking about coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.